Hello, my name's Doug Hamilton and I flew the Hudson Bomber here today.
Doug, what's so special about the Hudson Bomber that you were flying?
Oh, it's just a magnificent old aeroplane. A lot of history there. It's the only one flying in the world now. Yeah, we're very lucky to have it here and to be able to fly it. It's just a gorgeous old aeroplane.
I understand you had a bit of a special flight today in that you had a passenger alongside you.
We certainly did, and we think that's really special. That's what really makes these events fantastic. Bumped into Peter last night. He was one of the guests at a dinner we had. He flew Hudsons during the war, and we basically collared him and confiscated him and brought him here today. I think his family were hoping to take him from Tokemall to Sydney today, but they've got a bit of a diversion now. They've got to come via Ballarat.
Peter Ferry, what was it like to fly in the Hudson Bomber here today after so many years?
Absolute magic, absolute magic. I had the time of my life.
I can imagine it would bring back lots of memories. Were memories or bad memories or a bit of both?
All good memories. There was one time during the war when I was ferrying aircraft to Darwin, Spitfires. We had the same thing happen today coming here. We're flying in the Hudson and this Spitfire was flying right alongside us. It took me back to 1943, a long time ago.
Hello, my name is Stephen Deeth. I'm from Albury. I'm fortunate enough to be able to fly the Tomorrow Aviation Spitfire, which is an aeroplane that they bought about 6-7 years ago from Colin Pay, who was a famous warbird operator in Scone and New South Wales. He'd actually rebuilt the aeroplane in 1985 after it had been used at the Sydney Technical College for many years as a training aid. This aeroplane didn't actually see service in World War II, but it arrived here in Australia right at the end of World War II and was never actually flown in Australia until 1985 after it was restored.
You put on quite a show alongside the Mustang over the crowds here today, and I heard a few gasps and a few people quite excited to see it. How does it feel to fly for one of these events?
It is fantastic, actually. It is great to share these aeroplanes because they spend a lot of their time parked in hangars and a lot of people don't get to see them. So this trip on the RAF pilgrimage has been fantastic.
Now, I know the Spitfire was used in the Battle of Britain. What do you think sets this aircraft apart from some of the other aircraft that we're going to see here today?
This one is iconic. It has the elliptical wings and it just has a shape that everyone recognises. You can park this aeroplane anywhere and people know it's a Spitfire.
And it's got the shark mouth on the front of it?
Yes, it has the shark's teeth on the front of it. This aeroplane's actually painted up in the colours of Bobby Gibbs, who was a World War II fighter pilot. He actually saw service in Europe and in North Africa and also in the Pacific. And this aeroplane was painted up in his colours.
Hello, my name is Peter Clements. I'm the pilot of the RAF Museum Mustang that we've brought into Ballarat today. The Mustang was a very historical aeroplane and very important, actually, for the Allies in the Second World War up until 1941-42 when this aeroplane was introduced. The survival in the bombers was horrific. There was no fighter that could actually go into Europe all the way to Germany and back that had the fuel capacity. This aeroplane was introduced in 1941-42 with enough fuel to go from London to Berlin and back, and that actually changed the whole theatre of the bombing campaign.
And what about this particular plane? It was built in Australia.
That's right. Australia was the only country in the world that actually built Mustangs outside of America. So out of the 14,500 Mustangs built, only 200 were built out of America, outside of America, and those were the 200 that we built here in Australia under licence. They were built in the government aircraft factory underneath the Westgate Bridge. And this particular one is number 170 of the 200 build, so its serial number is 170. It was built 46-47. I think it first started flying in 1948. It's a very historical aeroplane in the sense that we're the only air force that still have a Mustang that we've operated since the Second World War, and every other service or every other air force around the world have sold them off, and if they've got one, they've actually gone out and bought them back, but we never ever sold this one.
Does it take a lot to maintain something like this?
It does. We've got a very very highly experienced band of brothers, I suppose, to look after these aeroplanes, a very tight-knit group. It is a very complicated aeroplane for its time, the engine especially, the V12 Merlin, 1,600 horsepower, and it was a very highly technical engine. But they've got it pretty much under wraps now, and the aeroplane's running beautifully.
It's parked alongside the Spitfire. I know that they flew in together. Is there a bit of competition between the two planes?
No, not really. The Spitfire, this was a new aeroplane. I know that sounds mad, but the Spitfire was sort of designed and built in the 30s. And by the time 1941 came, when this one was built, I know it's only 6 or 7 years maybe between designs, but there was a huge jump in that time because of the war. So this has a lot of things that the Spitfire has, but the Spitfire has a lot of things, or some things, that this doesn't have. Is there a competition? No. We're all good mates, and they're both beautiful aeroplanes, and we're very privileged to fly them.
Hi, I'm Rod Edwards from Western Australia, and I'm flying a Boeing Stearman. It's a 1941 US Army war trainer. It's just a big old biplane. I just love biplanes. They're beautiful to fly, and it's got a very big motor on it. It's got a 450 horsepower motor, so it makes lots of noise and doesn't go any faster, but just makes lots of noise, and it's just unique.
What was the ride over here like?
Yeah, it was lovely. We had a couple of planes in formation. We were in formation with a Stinson Reliant, which is of pretty similar era, and we also had a de Havilland Drover, which we passed, and yeah, the countryside was beautiful, a lot of water around. It was really lovely.
Now, you've got an open cockpit, so I can imagine it might have been quite a windy ride.
Windy is probably not the word, it's just cold. When you're up high, we're at 3,000 feet, and so you're losing 2 degrees every 1,000 feet you climb, and when you're out in the open cockpit, yeah, it makes a difference. And yeah, my teeth are chattering a bit this morning when I landed.
Yours was one of the last planes to come in today. How long did it take you to get over from Western Australia?
I haven't actually added it all up, but I would suggest it's probably around about 20 hours. We did it in about 15 stops, so we're probably an hour and a half to 2 hours is as long as we can go. And most of the airports are sort of in that range. So, yeah, it was quite a long ride, and out in the open, it's certainly a challenge.
Hello, I'm Cole Griffin. I'm a pilot. I come from Gisborne.
Cole, can you tell us how old you are? I'd say you're one of the oldest pilots here today.
Oh, that's very embarrassing. I'm 91. I've had a cold. That's why I sound like a really old man. But I'm feeling good.
You still fly your own plane solo, is that right?
I certainly do. I have a what is known as an RV6, which is a small but very fast little American home-built aeroplane.
Now, Cole, you were a Mosquito pilot in World War II. Where did you serve?
In Britain, on an Intruder night fighter squadron number 456. It was based at various locations around Britain. One of the dangers of visiting foreign airfields or enemy airfields was not quite knowing physically how high you were above the ground, particularly on dark nights.
Now, Cole, it's the 90th anniversary of the RAAF and you're flying as part of the pilgrimage. You flew in a yak today. How does it feel to be a part of this event?
It's a brotherhood, and accordingly you feel a sense of belongingness. Need I say more?